So, guys, welcome. It's good that we can share tonight. It's a really important message, I think, for us as a church. And I think that it's going to make a massive change to how we live. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I was just remembering this afternoon, and Teresa will remember, and a few others, when we first came to London, and we used to meet here on a Friday night, and then at the end of our meeting at 10 o'clock roughly, we used to have an hour's break, then we used to start praying at 11, and we'd pray through to the next morning, and old Susie would make us bacon sandwiches, and we'd all sit on a table up there feeling hungover. But so, you know, when you've got through a whole night, you feel so amazing, like, we did this, God, this is amazing. And you know, and we would sit up there, and we would eat breakfast and go home triumphantly. And I can remember so many times Teresa lying just about where she's sitting now on the floor, and she'd just say, "The young people, Lord, the young people." And she'd really, her heart would break for the young people of London. And that was really summed up what a lot of the cry of our heart used to be. We used to have maps of different parts of London and different ethnic groups in different parts of London. And we would spread the maps out on the floor and get different crowds around different maps. And we would pray for the Muslim population, pray for the Hindus, pray for the Buddhists, pray for the Jewish people. We prayed for everybody. Sometimes we decide we'd go walking around London. We'd go walking around Buckingham Palace. And Teresa had this little fructose bottle of olive oil, and she would spray the gates of Buckingham Palace as we went by to anoint them. And, you know, there was such a deep longing in us for this city to come to a revelation of Jesus Christ. It was what motivated our hearts. It's what got us coming to an all-night prayer meeting. And the night we literally spent crying out to God for this city and just for the multitudes of people who don't know. And I remember nights we prayed for human trafficking to stop and to become exposed, and we'd cry out to God, and then we'd suddenly, a week later, you'd suddenly read the newspaper that rings got busted, and there's such a sense of, we are engaged with this city, and we are enforcing this kingdom into the city, and we are creating a wedge of Jesus Christ into London for people to get discover the King of Glory. And you know, I'm not talking about the odd prayer meeting. I'm talking about years of prayer. Years. And I think it's the season for the fruit to come in now. I have such a strong sense that the season of fruitfulness is about to be upon us. And that all of that sowing of seed and watering with tears along with Teresa and weeping before God for hours, just asking Him to do something in this city to break the stronghold of darkness and bring people into the revelation of Jesus Christ. And now it's time to go and pick the sheaves and bring in the harvest, which is long overdue for the glory of Jesus. And so we're looking at tonight at one aspect of what Jesus wants us to understand. And the whole purpose of us being here was to make an impact on the people of this city and then the nation beyond the city. We didn't come for anything else. We used to say we just want to see a move of God start. We want to see people saved. And you know, it's interesting. We had Dr. James Maloney come here, and he prophesied and twice, and when you read his prophecies, and I've just read them again today, a huge part of them is all about reaching the people outside there. It's all about what we do so that people out there will become saved, and people out there will become set free and released into the glory of Jesus. And this was what a lot of what he prophesied was in those words, and probably 70% of those words were about people being reached one way or another. So here we are, 10 years later, much sowing. Now we begin to harvest. I want to just discuss with you something wonderful, and I want to take you there. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gathers together a whole bunch of his people. I think there might have been over 100 people. And he goes up on the side of a mountain and he begins to teach them. You know, Jesus' teaching were incredibly profound, but incredibly uncomplicated. And anybody could relate to what he was saying. He didn't have great theological truths that people had to have degrees to understand where he was coming from. They just had to listen to him because he spoke of everyday activity that they were involved in. Lots of agricultural and fishing examples because that's what the majority of the people that followed him were engaged in. And so Jesus begins to talk to them. And he says to them that they would be blessed. They were blessed. And he says, you who are poor in spirit, you who understand your deep need for God, you, the poverty of your life, yours is going to be the kingdom of God. You are going to have the kingdom of God. It's going to belong to you. Those who mourn, those who understand that they desperately need God, those who mourn as one mourns for a lost loved one, those are the ones that he says will be comforted. They'll get the comfort of heaven. He says, the meek, the lowliest amongst you, the fishermen, the ones with the least, they're the ones that are going to inherit the earth. Wow, the whole earth. What about the 1% super rich? No. Even the Russian oligarchs that are here in London, not even them. You, the meekest ones, you're going to inherit this. This earth's going to belong to you. You are the ones that are going to have this as your inheritance. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, you long for righteousness, you're going to be filled. In other words, you're going to be satisfied. What you've longed to see, you're going to see. Those who are merciful, you're the ones that are going to be shown mercy. So what you've got to do is be merciful to everybody around you because you are going to receive mercy for being merciful. If you are pure in your heart, if you walk with a desire for purity in your heart, you're going to see God. God's going to reveal himself to you. You're going to be rewarded for your decision. If you're a peacemaker, if you want to make peace, if you refuse to break down your relationship with anybody, if anything goes wrong in a relationship, you want to fix it. You fight for unity. You fight to produce this glorious sense of peace between brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God, you will be called the children of God. So if you've lived your life as a peacemaker, one who seeks to bring about the peace of God on the earth, you're going to be called a child of God. By the way, if you're facing persecution right now, when people insult you, when they persecute you and they say all kinds of evil about you because you have chosen to follow Jesus, you will have great reward in the kingdom of heaven. Great reward is yours. No matter how much they persecute you, reject you, say evil things about you, just rejoice. Don't even get sad about it. Just rejoice. Because there is going to be a reward for you in the kingdom of heaven. Not the 1% of the super rich. Some of them might, and I pray they do. But you, who because of your decision to follow me, have had to endure the wrath and the anger of family members and people who don't understand what you're doing and people who choose to insult you, there's a reward waiting for you. I mean, when you've got all of this, there's nothing more to want. You're safe. You're as secure as you can be. Because he's taken care of everything. Now, I've said this to you in a few minutes. One of those things would be several sermons. But I don't think Jesus told them in sermons. I think he just sat and talked. And this is what he imparted. It might have taken him a lot longer than it took me here. So he says to them, he then goes on and he says, in that same discourse, he says, you, all of you here, you're the light of the world. And they're sitting there on the side of a mountain, and they're probably not feeling like the light of anything. And he says, you are the light of the world. So he looks over at us tonight, and he sees us sitting here, and he says, hey, all of you, you are the light of this world. This world is a very dark place, but because you are in this world, you are going to give light to the dark world. You are going to dispel the darkness just because you live in this world. You are the light of the world. You're the ones going to give light to the people that are stumbling about in darkness and don't know which way they're going. I've chosen you to be the ones who will be the light bearers. In fact, he says, you're going to be so light that you're going to be like a town on a hill. People can see it at night from miles away. They can see the glow of the lights on the hill. They didn't have electric lights, but they had light. People can see it. And he says, in the same way, that light, that city can't be hidden. It'll be seen by anybody out there miles away. They'll see there's a town out there we're going towards. That's my plan for you. He says, you know, when you've got a light in your home at night, you don't light this little lamp and then pop it under a bowl, put the bowl on top of it and then say, we've lit the lamp. No, he says, you take this lamp and you put it quite high up in the room on something so that it will cast its light all over the room and people will be able to see what they're doing because there's light in this room. He says, in the same way, let your light shine so that the people stumbling in darkness can see it and not only see your light, but discover the way to go. Because they see light that they might not have seen before. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, he said, this is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. He says, in John chapter 14, verse 17, he says, the Holy Spirit will live in you. The light of the world will come and live in you. That's the light that you're carrying. You are carrying the most blinding light in your life. Even on a dull day when you don't feel very light, you're carrying light. And he says, hey, if you've got this light, I want you to let it shine before people. I want people to see this light. So I'm asking you not to do anything. I'm just asking you to let what's already there be seen. You don't have to do anything other than to show what is inside you. It's just letting that happen. When people see this light in you, he says, they're going to glorify your Father in heaven just because of the light in your life. Simply this, the light we show is the new nature that God has put on the inside of us that belongs to him. It's the way we care about people outside of ourselves. It's the way we conduct ourselves in every part of our life. That's how we show forth this amazing light. When people see this, they'll be drawn. They'll say, what is it about you? What is it about you? It's not necessarily preaching on a street corner, although it could be, but it's not necessarily that at all. It's not necessarily going on a treasure hunt. It's just being light wherever you are. It's being light in your family. It's being light in your job. It's being light in your church. It's being light in the street. It's being light in the O2 arena. It's being light wherever you find yourself. It's just being the light. And that's all you've got to do. You know, I've been obviously thinking this for a few days. And on Wednesday night, we were in here praying at 6 o'clock. We prayed for the Muslim community of London, who are not our enemies. They're not the enemies of Jesus Christ. They are desperately needing Jesus Christ. They are being controlled by a darkness, which some of them are, which needs to be broken. And we had a most wonderful time praying for them because they are special, precious people in His sight. And so I was very conscious of this, and I was walking home from Ealing Broadway, and a woman in a covering, I forget the name of the thing. Yeah, that thing. And she stopped me. She was walking with a chap, and she said, "Sorry, we're trying to find the Edwards Language School. Do you know where it is?" And I said, "You know, I've seen a language school somewhere here, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's up that way." And I turned around to Karen walking, and lo and behold, I walked past the Edward Language School. So I looked back, and they're way down the road. So I ran back after them. I said, "Hey, I found the Edwards Language School." They said, "Where?" I said, "Come with me. It's down here. I'm going there." So we start walking together, and I said, "Where are you guys from?" She said, "We're from Saudi Arabia." I said, "Wow, I've never met anybody from Saudi Arabia before." We all shook hands, and I said, "What are you doing here?" She says, "I'm doing a course, and my husband's come with me, and he needs to improve his English, so we thought we'd get him in a language school while I do my course. Then we go back to Saudi." Oh, that's fantastic. That's brilliant. What a great day. And finally we came. I said, "There's your school." They said, "Wow, thank you so much." We all shook hands again. "Have a great day. Thank you for helping us." Now, I could have blown it by saying, "And by the way, Jesus loves you." If I needed to tell them that to see the light, then the light's not that good. So I just kind of got friendly. And I just cared about somebody. I could have said, "Oh, well, they're from some strange country and they're Muslims and I don't really care if they get lost. I'm going on." And I think this is roughly what the Lord's showing us. It's how do we care about people around us? How do we bother about people's lives? You know, you guys are teachers who work with children all the time. You guys are challenged with kids that are usually coming from perhaps difficult backgrounds. And they must be massively challenging. And I don't undermine that. But they are seeing your light. And it might be that you don't always get it right. But they're seeing your light. And I want to encourage you. Let your light so shine before children that they will be drawn to your Heavenly Father. And they will give praise to Him. Here's another way to put it, and I'm going to read it to you from the Message, which I don't use for theological teaching, but it just really gives a great understanding of this word. So here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. Each one of us has different colors from God. You've got singing colors, you've got teaching colors, you've got administrative and nursing colors. Everybody's got colors from God, but they're more than your profession. They're the gifting that God's put in you, your ability to care about people, your ability to give a loving, kind word to somebody whose heart is breaking and who are feeling distraught about their life. You've got the ability to lay hands on a sick person and ask God to heal their disease. You have that ability to put your arms around someone who's breaking on the inside, whose life is distraught and a total mess. You have the ability to do that. You have the ability to take somebody who's on the street, got no hope, and buy them a meal. You have that ability. You're showing the light of Jesus to this world. You're showing them the God color. You see, God's color exists, but it only exists in us, on the world, in the world. So it says there, you're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on the hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine! Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, the generous Father in heaven. So often we think we're going to have to go out there and do a miracle, raise a dead person to get someone's attention, or heal a cripple, or open deaf ears. Those are wonderful things, and some people have the gifts to do that. But all of us are called to be the light in the world, to show the God color that's in us. And the way you show it is by caring about somebody's life. Just letting your light shine before each other will change everything. Do you know, I think that we've got a little chance here, a little breather, to practice getting it right in here. Because I think it's possible to come to church, even this little church, and remain pretty well invisible unless you're an extrovert personality. You could come in and go home and not really have a conversation with anybody. Or you could have been here and chatted about, hi, how are you? Fine, nice to see you next week. Maybe they don't even know what you do for a living. Maybe they don't even know how you got saved. Maybe they know nothing about you except you're the guy who wears the Australian t-shirt and you just turn up here and you always look cool on rollerblades. You know, how much do we know one another's lives? How much do we understand each other's journey that brought us to this point and this place? How badly do you want somebody to really care about you and care about your life and care about what happens to you? How much would you like somebody to invite you for a meal at their house, or somebody to just invite you to come and have a coffee at the table with them and say, hey, let's sit down and get to know each other. What are you doing on the weekend? Can we hang out tomorrow? What are you doing? Where do you live? What are you on about? What do you do for fun? Do you know, I reckon that in any room in London with people, and you'll find lonely people in a crowd. Walk around London on a Sunday and you'll see lonely people sitting on their own with a laptop in a coffee bar, and they're connecting on the internet, but they don't talk to anybody. You find people these days who've given up going to church and sit on internet church or watch church on television. Or you'll get people that just surf, like couch surfing, the church surf. They just go wherever there's something cool going on. So they don't build relationships. They don't ever know anybody, and nobody knows them. How willing are you to be bussed out of your little clique, your little happy circle of the people you know well and they know you well and you hung out together, you got history? How willing are you to open up and let somebody else in? Do you know, one of the hardest things in most churches is to find the musicians having a relationship with the people in the church. It happens all over the world. It is seriously one of the hardest things, because they have a cool relationship with each other and you have. But rarely does this thing flow this way. It's wonderful when it does, because it's meant to. But often we've got little groups, young people, older people, Spanish people, Korean people, Bulgarian people, and we just stay with our group and we just live this isolated life. So what we're doing is we're not letting our light shine before anybody. We're not going to let anyone see our God colors. We're just going to keep them for the select few that we've chosen to be friends with. But that wasn't what Jesus did. And it wasn't what he was teaching here. He was teaching here that we would allow people right in to our lives. For all you know, there could be something sitting right next to you right now. Not likely, because there are not many people here tonight, but there could be. Who's hurting? They've got a huge problem. They've got a debt. They've got a service. They've got health issues. They've got something going on in their family. They came in and they hoped that they'll either get some sort of comfort in the message or in the worship, or that somebody will touch their life and say, are you okay? Is there anything that I can do to be light to you? And sadly, I think a lot of them just get up and leave at the end. I think, what was that all about? You see, if we think that this is about some sort of cool sermon and some really nice worship, we've missed the point completely. We've just lost it. We're in the wrong place altogether. Because that's not going to change anybody. If a woman from Saudi Arabia or anywhere else walked in with her covering and everything else, how warm would we be to them? To go to them and say, hey, it's nice that you're here. Thank you for coming to visit us. Can I get you a coffee? Come and sit down. And not feel we've got to hit her with a little Jesus statement just to make sure she got the message. What if a homeless person came in and they obviously needed a bath? How would we respond to them? Would we welcome them to come and have a seat? Would we say, hey, let me get you a coffee? Have you had something to eat? Can we sort out something for you tonight? You know, this is meant to be the most extraordinary community of people, the body of Christ. It goes right outside the norms of the society we live in. It breaks the barriers. It busts down boundaries. And it shows people what Jesus looks like. Shows him what he looks like. Sometimes you just need to go and reach out to a Russian oligarch. You don't need to go and reach a homeless person. What I'm really saying to you is, we're nothing yet if we cannot touch somebody else's life. If it's just theory in our heads, if it's just clever rhetoric, we're not going to change anything. The fact that we lived all these years with the most incredible intelligence and revelation, but we have not loved each other, and we have not loved people outside of this place, there isn't a great deal of point to it. Now, I think what's been done has been so good, and so much has been sown. So it's the next stage. And why I'm saying it this way, as opposed to, well, in 2 weeks' time, we're having an evangelism service. We've got an evangelism preacher, and we're going to do evangelism testimonies, and we're going to heal the sick and bring your friends and get them saved. You don't have to change anything. You just have to invite somebody and wave them goodbye when they're finished. But can you imagine if each one of us became a light source? You don't have to become one. You already are one. And just went out the door and said, I'm light, but firstly, I'm going to practice being light in here. You know, there's Dan and Roz, their little girl, Karis, and you know, they brought her to the meeting, and it's wonderful that they did. How about somebody one day says, hey, guys, Karis knows me. She's quite comfortable with me. I'm one of Roz's friends. Why don't you guys sit in the meeting? I'll sit at the back and play with Karis so that you can have a good time. We're meant to be extraordinarily different. We're meant to care about what happens to other people's lives and how their lives are working. And believe me, I understand the pressure of your own life. But sometimes I think if we look out of our own life into somebody else's life, my pressure just gets so much smaller. And I just become so less bothered with what I am or am not experiencing in my own life. And I find, hang on, this is even more fun than I thought it was going to be. Let's celebrate each other's colors here. Let's find out what everybody's life's about in this place. And let's celebrate. Let's find a way to say, hey, that's amazing color. You know, if you don't know Teresa, you've got to go meet her. Because Teresa changed our life. She changes everybody's life that meets her. She's a life changer. And it's special. And, you know, if you're young, I tell you, old people are fantastic. Believe me. They've got so much experience of life. They've gone through the journey. They've understood a lot of things. They've made a lot of the mistakes you don't have to make. And old people, young people are fantastic. They are special. They are full of energy and vitality and life and hope and optimism. And they question things and they wrestle. They want to find out what they believe. They're worth getting to know. Did you know black people are really interesting, as are Spanish people, as are Korean people, as are in Asian people? People matter to God. That's it. Doesn't matter whether we're pink or green. We matter to God. And He wants us to let our light so shine before men that they will celebrate the goodness of the Father. So I'm going to ask you to do something tonight. We're going to have a little break in a minute. And I'm going to ask you to find somebody you've really never got to know before. Somebody you've never seen before. Maybe they're just a visitor. Wouldn't it be cool if a visitor actually felt welcome? Go and spend the next few minutes. Find somebody you've never talked to before. Don't look necessarily for the person next to you. Be brave. Live dangerously. Find someone on the other side of the room. Run over and say, I want to meet you. I want to know what your life's all about. And I'm going to spend a few minutes listening to you. And then, would you listen to me? I want to tell you about myself. I want to tell you who I am. And I want to tell you where I got saved and how I got saved. I want to tell you what I do. I want to find out about you. Are you okay? Do you have any need in your life at the moment that I can pray about? And then we're going to pray about it that with each other. And then we're going to come up here. We're going to break bread. And then we're going to have some coffee together.